Part 2. The Toys of Zeus. 1. Prometheus. I have mentioned Prometheus, son of Iapetus and Clymene, before. This far-sighted young Titan had all the attributes that charm. He was strong, almost distressingly good-looking, faithful, loyal, discreet, modest, humorous, considerate, well-mannered, and altogether the most engaging and captivating company. Everybody liked him, but Zeus liked him best. When Zeus's packed schedule allowed, the pair would go rambling over the countryside together, talking of everything and nothing, of fortune, friendship and family, of war and destiny, and of many silly and inconsequential things besides, as friends will. In the days leading up to the inauguration of the Dodecatheon, Prometheus, who was as fond of Zeus as Zeus was of him, had begun to notice a change in his friend. The god seemed moody and irritable, less inclined to go for walks, less silly and playful, and more prone to sulks and outbursts of petulance that were unworthy of the kingly, humorous, and self-controlled god that Prometheus knew and loved. He put it down to nerves and kept out of his way. One morning, a week or so following the great ceremony, Prometheus, who had taken to sleeping in the long grass somewhere in the fragrant meadows of Thrace, felt himself being jerked awake by a persistent tweaking of his toes. He opened his eyes to see a lively and rejuvenated king of the gods bouncing up and down in front of him like an impatient child on their birthday morning. The gloom had melted away like mist from a mountain top, and all the signature joviality had returned tenfold. Up, Prometheus! Up and at 'em! Huh? We're going to do something remarkable today, something that the world will shout about for eons. It will ring down the ages. It will be the...
Hunting for bears, are we?
Bears? I've had the most extraordinary idea. Come on!
Where are we going?
Zeus gave no answer, but putting an arm round Prometheus, he led him forcefully across the fields in a silence punctuated only by occasional barks of excited laughter. If Prometheus hadn't known his friend better, he might have thought him drunk on nectar.
This idea, he prompted, perhaps you could start at the beginning?
Good, yes, the beginning. That's right, the beginning is exactly where we should start. Sit there. Zeus indicated a fallen tree and paced up and down while Prometheus inspected the bark for ants before seating himself. Now, consider how everything began. Enarche en chaos. In the beginning was chaos. Out of chaos came the First Order, Erebus, Nyx, Hemera, and their generation, followed by the Second Order, our grandparents, Gaia and Uranus. Yes?
Prometheus gave a cautious nod.
Gaia and Uranus, who then unleashed upon creation the catastrophic aberration of you people, the Titans.
Hey,
and next came all those nymphs and spirits, endless minor deities and monsters and animals and what have you, and finally, the culmination, us, the gods, heaven and earth perfected.
After a long and bloody war against my race, which I helped you win.
Yes, yes. But the end result, all is well. Peace and prosperity have broken out everywhere. And yet...
Zeus left such a long silence that Prometheus felt obliged to break it.
You surely can't mean that you miss the war? No, it's not that. Zeus continued pacing up and down in front of Prometheus like a teacher lecturing a class of one. You must have noticed I've been out of sorts lately. I'll tell you. You know how sometimes I like to soar over the world in the form of an eagle,
scouting for nymphs?
This world,
Zeus went on, affecting not to hear, is quite extraordinarily beautiful, everything in its place. Rivers, mountains, birds, beasts, oceans, groves, plains and canyons. But, you know, when I look down, I find myself sorrowing at how empty it is.
Empty?
Oh, Prometheus, you have absolutely no idea how boring it is to be a god in a complete and finished world.
Boring?
Yes, boring. For some time, I've realized that I am bored, and I am lonely. I mean lonely in the larger sense, in the cosmic sense. I'm cosmically lonely. Is this how it's going to be forever and ever now? Me on a throne on Olympus, Thunderbolt on lap, while everyone bows and scrapes, sings praises and begs favours in perpetuity. Where's the fun in that?
Well,
be honest, you'd hate it too.
Prometheus compressed his lips and thought for a while. It was true that he had never envied his friend the imperial throne and all its bothers and burdens.
Suppose, said Zeus, suppose I were to start a new race.
In the Pythian Games?
No, not a running race. A race as in a species. A new order of beings. Like us in every particular. Upright, on two legs.
One head?
One head. Two hands. Resembling us in every particular. And they would have... you're the intellectual, Prometheus. What's the name for that aspect of us that raises us above the animals?
Our hands?
No, the part that tells us that we exist, that makes us aware of ourselves.
Consciousness.
That's the one. These creatures would have consciousness and language. They wouldn't be a threat to us, of course. They'd live down here on the land, use their wit to farm and feed and fend for themselves.
So...
Prometheus frowned in concentration as he tried to form a coherent picture in his mind.
A race of beings like us?
Exactly, but not as big as us, and they'd be my creation. Well, our creation.
Our creation?
You're good with your hands, a second Hephaestus. My idea is that you would model these creatures out of clay, for example. They should be shaped in our image, anatomically correct in every detail, but on a smaller scale. Then we could animate them, give them life, replicate them, and release them into nature to see what happens.
Prometheus pondered this idea.
Would we engage with them, speak to them, move about with them? That would be exactly the point. To have an intelligent, well, semi-intelligent, species to praise and worship us, to play with us and amuse us, a subservient, adoring race of little miniatures.
Male and female?
Oh, good heavens, no, just male. You can imagine what Hera would say otherwise.
Prometheus could indeed imagine what Hera's reaction might be if the world were suddenly filled with more females for her errant husband to involve himself with. He saw that Zeus was very excited by his grand scheme. Once he was set upon a course, Prometheus knew, even one as novel and strange as this, not the Hecatoncheires and Gigantes combined could sway his friend from it. Not that Prometheus was against the idea. It was an exciting experiment, he decided. Playthings for the immortals. When you came to think of it, it was really rather an enchanting notion. Artemis had her hounds, Aphrodite her doves, Athena her owl and serpent, Poseidon and Amphitrite their dolphins and turtles. Even Hades kept a dog, albeit a perfectly disgusting one. It was only fitting that the chief of gods should design his own special kind of pet, more intelligent, loyal, and endearing than the others.